This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard the Adam Ritz Show. My name is Adam Ritz, and we have Jay Baker with us on the phone. Hi, Jay. How's it going?
It is going great. They're getting ready to open the pool at the place that I live, and I've only got time for this show, and then I got to hit the beach, baby.
This is one of the best times of year when your neighborhood pool, the rec center, the parks department, or even if you're lucky enough to have your own pool in your backyard, it is open, the water is cool and clean, the sun is hot, and it's just nothing but relaxation every weekend. Jay, I wish I could be with you at your pool later today, but guess what? I'll be at my pool.
Yeah, you know, life is tough for you now, Mr. I've got my own pool.
Well, you know what? They are an expense. Maybe later in the summer we'll do some sort of pool awareness show for the pool owners out there. Maybe some pool hacks to save you some money. One thing I've learned is when I see a pool device like a brush or a skimmer at a pool store, especially a chain, some of the prices are outrageous. I'll do a little Google Lens or throw the picture on Amazon and see if I can get it cheaper somewhere else. And I usually can. And you know what? That's a little shopping advice for any item you're looking for. Have you ever used that little picture icon in your Amazon to see if you can get a better price?
I have not, but I am impressed. Like you pointed out, there are some technology, I guess you'd call them hacks, but certainly some nice shortcuts to save you some money.
And save you time. I used to, and I mean like 3 weeks ago, Jay, I used to Google an item. If I saw it in a store, let's say recently I was on a road trip and in a gift shop, I found a book that I wanted to buy my daughter. And I went to Amazon and I searched that book to see if I could get a better price.
Right.
And I did. And Melissa said, "Why are you searching for that? All you have to do is take a picture of it." And she showed me how on the search bar of Amazon, to the far right, there's a little camera icon. And if you touch that, then the Amazon camera, I guess, app will open up, take the picture, kind of like the way you'd take a picture of a QR code, and it scans that item through their catalog and library, finds it, and tells you what the price is. And it saves you so much time, you don't have to type it in. Technology, AI, it's certainly making life easier before it kills us all.
Yes. Before our web browser turns on us, it will help us save money and time.
Yes. So anyway, Jay, I wanted to start with a charity concert that's happening in July in Louisville, Kentucky. This is a really cool one. It's called COSAIR Live. It's benefiting COSAIR for Kids. It's a Louisville-based nonprofit that enhances the health and well-being of children in need across Kentucky. COSAIR for Kids was originally founded in 1923 by the COSAIR Shriners as a children's hospital. It operates today as a grant-making charity that funds pediatric health care, child advocacy, research, and social services. This concert, COSAIR Live, some great names here. Hannah Harper, who was a winner of the what's that big game show that Ryan Seacrest hosted? American Idol. My goodness, where's my do I need more protein or some sort of brain powder? Everyone's
isn't that funny? You're doing a show about improving your life and being careful of things. And, you know, simple everyday facts have escaped you easily. So who knows?
I would guess the percentage of Americans that cannot recall American Idol, to the front of their brain is less than 1%, and I'm in that group of people. So Hannah Harper, who was on American Idol, she might have won it, I think. She is performing. Richard Marx, great 80s performer, had some hits in the 80s and 90s. He's still playing, and he looks great. I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he looks exactly the same. He's got the Rob Lowe disease. He does not age. And then Richard Page is also performing. Not a household name, but he is a famous guy. You'll know who he is when I tell you. Do you know who Richard Page is?
I do not.
He was the lead singer of Mr. Mister.
Well, there you
There you go. So Carrie was one of their hit songs.
easy for you to say.
Yeah, Kyrie.
No, it was Kyrie. It was
Kyrie.
Good,
there you go.
But yeah, as a radio announcer in that era, we were like, come on now,
exactly.
Give us some names that are easy to say. Yeah,
and Broken Wings was the big hit. So Take These Broken Wings. That was Richard Page singing that for Mr. Mister. He also, if we have any Yacht Rock fans listening, was the lead singer of his own band called Pages in the late 70s before Mr. Mister hit it big. So that might, if you really like music and 70s music, check out Pages. You might like that. So Richard Page, Richard Marx, Hannah Harper, who was on a game show that I can't recall right now, they're all going to perform at Kosair Live on July 18th in Louisville at the KFC Yum Center. Proceeds benefit Kosair for Kids.
Very good. Well, it is going to be a very busy time of the year. Something you're going to hear a lot about this summer is there is an upswing in tick bites reported by people that have gone to the emergency room. And while interacting with ticks is serious, the very, very good news is most of us are not in an environment where we're going to necessarily contact ticks, but you want to just be aware that it could happen. Let's say you go to a family picnic and you're in kind of a woodsy area of your local park. Just keep your eyes open. I'm not saying it's not serious. It is, but it's not going to be one of those things where if you go outside for 30 minutes sitting on your deck, you're going to have a full body exam or anything of that nature. But it is something to be aware of. And who would have thought ticks seem obnoxious, but not dangerous, but potentially they do carry a couple of diseases you don't want to get.
Yeah, I've heard tick season in this year's really bad. So I think you're right.
It is
just
bad.
Be aware, something to think about, and maybe I will get a hazmat suit to sit on my back deck. Jay
There's
Baker told me
There's nothing unreasonable about that. Yeah, that's your number one tick protection, full body hazmat suit. And I think you can use the Amazon icon to make sure
and
you're
save a
getting
little money.
Good prices on that. Here's the really good news. If you are a dog lover such as myself, you can consult your vet and make sure that your dog is on some type of recurring flea and tick medicine. It makes the it makes your dog's body chemistry inhospitable to fleas and ticks, and it will at least protect our four-legged friends. So please do check into that because I think that could be a factor this year.
Yes.
This is also the time of the year, Adam, where you got to worry a little bit about sunblock.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a number of shows about skin cancer, and I know that this is a subject you know an awful lot about. So what are your quick overviews of sunblock?
Well, I know there's two categories. You've got the mineral-based, and the other one, I'm going to guess, is chemical-based. I don't know if that's the actual term for it, but I used to use the non-mineral-based sunblock, which is what has just been around forever.
Right.
And recently, a couple summers ago, I had a skin reaction to the normal sunscreen I was using. And an esthetician told me that you might want to switch to mineral-based sunblock. So I have switched. It is better for my skin. So if you've been having some issues with your sunblock causing irritation, look into the mineral-based sunscreen. That might be better for you.
Yeah, that's good advice. We always say make sure you check the expiration level or label on your sunblock. It's pretty easy to have stuff sitting around your house. I used to laugh. I had some grandparents that probably never threw out a single first aid item.
Yep.
You know, because they're handy to have around the house. They had a bottle of, and this is an obscure medicine, Mercurochrome, which you may or may not have seen. It used to be an old standby. Nowadays, we tend to use first aid cream. But back in the day, they would use this. I remember one time visiting them, and it had expired sometime in the 30s, and I'm not exaggerating. And I thought to myself, I mean, but for the grace of God, you know, I mean, I probably have some stuff in my medicine cabinet that's from the Crimean War. But
yeah,
do check on that. Make sure that you have some recent sunblock and use it as directed.
If you get sick at Jay's house, he'll give you castor oil.
Yes. It'll cure everything, apparently. And one quick note before we jump into the meat and potatoes of what we got to tell you today to improve your life is this is the time of year where cars can get pretty hot pretty quick. So I like to take my four-legged friend along on different events that I do. And she is an absolute lover of dog daycare. But by being aware that I'm driving around my pet, I always check the back seat on a regular basis to make sure I don't inadvertently leave my pet back there. Obviously, we want to care a great deal if children get left in hot cars. But yes, living beings, probably even a house plant, shouldn't be left in a hot car. So be hyper aware this time of year.
The TV crews always do stories on this, and they'll put a thermometer inside the car on seemingly, you know, a hot day for sure. Let's say it's sunny and 85. I mean, that's not like crazy hot. You can still walk around and not sweat to death. But in the beating sun, with no wind, that car heats up into an oven rather quickly. And yeah, with any sort of living being in there, it won't be living for long. So this is great awareness Jay brings up, not only your children, but your pets too, especially if they're little. You know, they run around the back seat, you forget they're there. They're hiding under the back seat. You got to pay attention.
Yeah, I am with you all the way. So yes, take a moment and be aware. Adam was talking a little bit about some changes in the way that you can search for items that are available on sale. Google has announced, and I bet you have seen this and maybe not totally have it dawn on you, but Google is overhauling the search box and what they call the biggest change in over 25 years. We have to laugh, Adam. Even though we may even kind of know better, we use Google for just about everything, from incredibly serious to who was the lead singer of 98 Degrees. I mean, all these questions and so much more. But you probably have noticed that the search results now more closely resemble AI chats. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have noticed that. I also don't believe that you don't know who the lead singer of 98 Degrees is. I don't think you would Google that.
It had to be one of the Lachey brothers, I'm going to guess.
Wow, I am impressed because I didn't know, but now that you say that, I think you're right. I think it is one of the Lachey guys.
Brothers from Cincinnati, Ohio. Yes. And I think one of the Lacheys was famously married to Jessica Simpson.
That's right. Maybe that's why you know this information.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you Google search, I have noticed that. I also noticed, use it to your advantage. You can, instead of just Google searching 98 Degrees singer, which is the way you were, you know, advised to do a Google search when it years ago, because you could just be quick. Now, right. If you sort of pose it as a question, who is the person that was the lead vocalist for 98 Degrees? I feel like the AI in the Google searches will answer you in, you know, some sort of prose. They will lay it out and say the singer was, they were born, they joined the band, this is when they sang, and the band broke up this year. I mean, they'll give you a real explanation. It won't just be their name.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you can pose it as a question, a lot of times you'll get a more effective answer. I remember the other day I typed in, when will the Indy 500 be starting? Because I had a couple people asking me. And then, as you said, the search result is pretty thorough. It goes through a lot of things just by putting it in question form.
And Jay, here's what you can do. Next time you ask the question, any question, use the word please, because I think the AI will remember your politeness and will kill you last. When
the
take
AI
over.
Will not rise up. Let's put it this way. When you see Arnold Schwarzenegger with dark glasses on, then you got to worry about AI.
Then it's gone. That's how you know it's gone really bad.
Yeah, I'm bringing up this story because it is part of the new paradigm of livestock in Florida. But if you have always had the dream of being a python hunter, they do want you to know that registration is now open for the Florida Python Challenge.
Python hunting registration is now open. Well, there's a public service announcement.
If this is something you've always wanted to do, you've thought to yourself, I would love to be in an aluminum rowboat in the Everglades with a flashlight and a fork stick and maybe chaps and a cowboy hat. This is, I'm telling you, this could change your life.
Well, I'm glad to have this information now. Please go on.
Well, this, of course, helps control the Burmese python population because the Burmese python does not have many natural predators. And because of the nice climate in Florida, it too wants to live in the state. Now, the python may or may not know that there's no state income tax, but it knows that this is a mighty fine place to live.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Burmese python and their ilk. This year's grand prize, by the way, if you do participate in the challenge, is $10,000.
Okay. Now you have my attention. Maybe I'll get some chaps.
Now, the state of Florida opened this up back in 2013, and nearly 300 pythons were removed during last year's event. So it has been a pretty effective. The pythons don't like it, but it is. It has been effective.
That's how you know it's working. A representative from the python crew said, quote, we don't like it, end quote.
Yeah. Okay. The pythons reported thumbs down.
You got me there with that one. The snake with thumbs. Okay.
Hey, here's kind of an interesting note. This comes out every year, U.S. News and World Report is the company that reports on it. They will give you the list of the best places to live in the United States.
Lay it on
compares,
me.
Yeah, it compares 250 cities across the U.S. To make the list, it has to have good value, be desirable as a place to live, have a strong job market, and a high quality of life. And so they look at things like crime and is there walking trails and is there a good parks department?
Python population.
Yes, pythons. Now, pythons are always looking for great places to live in the United States, but they usually select warmer climates.
Okay.
So if you don't want to share your life with a python, some suggestions for you.
I might be part python because that's the climate I want to.
Oh, I'm with you. But here's kind of interesting, because this involves a couple of communities not far away from us. It compared these cities, and for the first time, and they've been ranking this for over 30 years, two neighboring suburbs landed at number one and number two. This is the first time this has happened since U.S. News and World Report has been working on this list.
I'll be darned.
At the top of the list, Carmel, Indiana. And yes, that's how you say it. Some people will confuse this city with Carmel in California, but this is Carmel, like the ice cream topping, Indiana.
Not Carmel by the sea. This is Carmel by the cornfield.
This is Carmel by the interstate, okay, as we like to say it here in the Midwest. But interesting, Carmel, Indiana, and Fishers, Indiana, ranked one and two as considered to be the list of top cities to live in. So that's actually pretty interesting that those cities ended up on the list.
It is interesting. U.S. News and World Report, the entire catalog of cities, towns, and burgs in the United States, the top two to live on in, rather, are right next to each other in Indiana. That's amazing. What's number three?
Who knew? Number three is Flower Mound, Texas. And in the group of top 10 cities, they are Texas cities. Texas has been adding a lot of population because people are finding it to be a very nice place to live. And once again, climate, it can get a little toasty, but it gets toasty almost anywhere in the summertime. But yeah, Texas, very popular. Also on that list was Leander, Texas, Sugarland, Texas, and a suburb of Dallas known as Frisco, Texas.
What is there a name of a town on that list that you would consider, you know, at least a medium-sized market?
Ah, you know, you're right. These are not particularly big cities. Like, as an example, and I know little of the geography of Alabama, but Hoover, Alabama is on the sheet, or is on the list. And I would guess, along the lines of what you said, Hoover, Alabama, which is a great place to live, is probably near a fairly large city in Alabama.
Just knee-jerk reaction, I'm guessing it's a suburb of Tuscaloosa.
Could be. Tuscaloosa is not as big as you might think, though that is famously where the University of Alabama is located.
So there's Auburn, Birmingham. It's probably near Birmingham, don't you
Could
think?
Could be Birmingham. I think Birmingham is the largest city in Alabama.
Yeah. Okay.
I just thought, I thought that was great food for thought. And you know how it is. You're thinking to yourself, where would I like to end up? And these are considered good good locations for many Americans, and you can look up the complete list on the here we go, U.S. News and World Reports. It'll be, of course, posted on the interwebs.
I would live in Flower Mound. I think that sounds attractive. Flower Mound, Texas. Is that one word or two? Flower Mound.
Let me see. It is two words. All Flower right. Mound.
Yeah. So, you could lie and say that you live on the patch of grass that was the original mound of flowers that the town got its name from. That's what I would say.
That you actually bought the flower mound inside Flower Mound.
Yeah, I'd put a mound of flowers in my front yard without question.
We have talked before on this show about how cool Mr. Beast is. And if you've heard Mr. Beast, you might go, oh, that sounds kind of strange. But he is a noted philanthropist and kind of an internet star and has done a lot of very interesting stunts that usually end up helping people. Well, he is teaming with the Lowe's Home Improvement stores for $15 kids building workshops. So this is a chance for you to do some stuff with your kids, and you only need to spend about $15.
That's a great plan. Low dough, do an activity with your kid, and they get to learn some life skills, some building skills, eye-hand coordination, some engineering. There's math involved. You got to measure. What is it? Measure twice, cut once?
It's exactly what you just said. Kids can build exclusive Mr. Beast projects. Here's some of the listings. Mini launcher, which sounds both dangerous and fun. Ferris wheel.
I'm gonna build a mini launcher for my backyard.
Mini launcher.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think just telling people you're building it may not be what your neighbors wanted to hear.
And the next thing is a Ferris wheel?
Yep, Ferris wheel. Let's see here. Customizable jet. How about that? I'm sure it probably doesn't actually fly, but it will look great when you finish it.
I'm not sure you can get the materials for $15 at Lowe's to build your own jet.
Your own jet. The monthly events are designed to get kids away from those screens.
Yep.
And give families a fun way to bond through creative building projects inspired by the massive Mr. Beast universe.
Good job.
I think that was kind of cool and fun.
Good job, Mr. Beast. It's not just a way to sell more chocolate to kids. It looks like he's trying to do something good.
I saw this on a movie one time, and I thought, what a great idea. I'm kind of surprised it was for the plot of a movie, but I thought it'd be great if somebody did this. Well, apparently somebody acted on that. There's an organization called Songs for Hope, and they are putting pianos across New York City for people to play.
Outdoors.
Yeah, outdoor pianos are going to start popping up around New York City. It's all part of the nonprofit Sing for Hope and its efforts to transform communities through the power of arts.
Do you know how to play any songs on piano?
I know Chopsticks, which is a crowd favorite.
That's it. To jazz that up, when people ask, instead of saying that you know how to play Chopsticks, you can say, I know the piano solo from Blinded by the Light by the Manfred Mann Band.
Yes.
I know a few songs on piano. I can't read music. I'm not bragging. A friend of mine that plays piano showed me how to play a few notes. So I can actually sit down and play the intro to Faithfully by Journey, and looks like I know what I'm doing. I don't, Jay. I don't at all, but I can get through.
The crowd goes wild.
Oh, the crowd goes wild. It kills at a wedding reception. And right at the point when Steve Perry starts singing, that's where I don't know how to play past that. So I just stop, get up, walk away. Everybody's disappointed.
that's not good.
I'm doing that in New York, though, later this summer when I see a piano just sitting out on the street. If you see a large, ugly man playing the intro to Faithfully by Journey, that's me.
I thought this was a cool idea, and yes, you are right. All you need is just that one song. Now, after they put these random pianos throughout city parks and public spaces, they will then relocate permanently those pianos to schools, hospitals, and community organizations throughout the region of New York. So that's a pretty cool thing.
I hope they're waterproof. I don't know how, what the material the average piano is made from, but I don't think they're that waterproof. Maybe that's the key. They're going to just put them out for a couple of weeks and then move them into indoor spaces that could use the music.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the gig, but random pianos. So like you said, people will sit down, play what they know, and it's kind of designed to engage people with a little bit of goodwill and music.
And it's a lot healthier than that random tuba program they did a few years ago.
Random tuba. Yeah,
Yeah, you walk through New York City, there's a random tuba on the corner that you're encouraged to pick up and start playing. Okay, Jay Baker, thank you so much for coming on today. We had a great time, had some great information for our listeners. You can get involved with us on social media. On X, I am at Adam Ritz.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.